This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Anyway, Matt Graham is here with us with an update on the mortgage market. Matt?
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live Market Update. Last week was busy at face value with a good amount of economic data, as well as key events in the form of the Fed announcement and the stimulus update. But for all of the potential market movers, things stayed pretty calm. Bonds started the week in stronger territory, not necessarily for any particular reason, and then spent the next 4 days gradually moving back toward weaker levels. Economic data didn't start for the week until Tuesday, and it began with import-export prices, not typically a big market mover. This was no exception. New York Fed manufacturing was stronger, indicated expansion, but not as strong as expected. Industrial production was a little bit better than expected, but down versus the previous month. All in all, manufacturing sector looks like it is holding pretty steady, not really blowing the lid off any expectations, but not alarmingly weak either. Wednesday was the big day with the Fed announcement in the afternoon. More on that in a moment. But the morning began with MBA applications. Both purchases and refis came in stronger than expected, continuing a really epic year for the mortgage origination side of the business. Retail sales, much weaker than expected, minus 1.1 versus a forecast of minus 0.3. That's on top of a negative revision to the previous month's data from positive 0.3 to negative 0.1. In simpler terms, retail sales were weaker than expected, and the previous month was revised weaker than expected. PMI manufacturing, this is from Market, by the way, with an I, not the ISM manufacturing, came in a little bit stronger, and PMI services came in a little bit weaker. Neither were in alarming territory, but neither are improving from last month. So that has us on the lookout for the more important or the bigger market mover, ISM manufacturing and non-manufacturing, to either hold steady or deteriorate slightly. Business inventories held steady. Crude oil inventories started to level off after last week's really epic glut that was so big some were concerned that it would have a inflationary or disinflationary impact, but no real correlation that I saw. Fed came in the afternoon, and the big consideration there was whether or not the Fed would extend its weighted average maturity of its bond buying portfolio. What that means is that traders were thinking, and the Fed had hinted that it could be a possibility, that they would increase the average lifespan of the bonds that they own. That means that if they're going to spend 10 bucks in the bond market today, if they are buying $5 worth of 2-year bonds and $5 worth of 10-year bonds, if they were going to maximize their weighted average maturity among those two choices, they would spend all $10 on the 10-year bonds, 10-year notes. And that would increase the weighted average maturity, and it would be better for longer term rates. It keeps Fed accommodation in the market for a longer period of time, all other things being equal, and generally would help things like mortgage rates be a little bit lower than they otherwise might be. By the time the meeting finally arrived, the market was really leaning toward the Fed probably not doing anything. And at least some of that had to do with prospects for fiscal stimulus being passed. Even though it's not the stimulus plan that some may have wanted or hoped for, just getting anything passed at this point is reassuring for the Fed from an accommodation standpoint. They really view the fiscal side as the more important side for the economy in the short term, and they view their own policy as more of a blunt instrument and not as efficient as fiscal. So even though fiscal wasn't completely dialed in, the fact that lawmakers on both sides of the aisle had been saying, hey, look, we're not going to leave Washington for Christmas until we get something done, was reassuring enough to probably push the Fed over the edge of not extending the weighted average maturities. So there was a little bit of weakness right when the Fed announcement came out, due to that fact, because some traders were still sort of holding out for that possibility. But when it didn't happen, yields spiked very briefly, and then they began to come down. The first reason they began to come down is that the statement itself was a little bit more bond friendly than the previous one. There were minor tweaks to what's known as the forward guidance component of the statement, where they say how they'll change their policy depending on certain eventualities in the future. In this case, they specifically laid out their MBS buying amount, which was nice to see. And they said that it's going to continue until there's substantial improvement to their dual mandate, which is employment and price stability. Then in the press conference, Powell was bond friendly yet again. And the most notable point was when he got a little bit more animated about inflation and said, hey, look, we got to be really honest about inflation here, people. It's not like it was in the 70s. We're going to be able to put a lot more money into the monetary system without running the risks of hyperinflation that we may have been conditioned to fear from back in the day. And bonds reacted to that immediately. Yields came back down. Of course, all of this is occurring in a very small range in the bigger picture. And indeed, the following morning saw bigger bond movement without the Fed being in play. A lot of that could be assumed to be early year-end, month-end, quarter-end trading. And it took yields lower at first, but then higher. And that was pretty much it for the week. Everything else was drifting in the same range that was set by Wednesday and Thursday. Heading into the new week, we had a little bit of a surprise market mover in the form of a buzz that had gathered momentum surrounding a new strain of COVID that's faster spreading, scary stuff, whatever. And stocks and bond yields logically fell on that, but the more markets understood this news, the more that those initial reactions sort of pushed back in the other direction. Probably the biggest reason there would be that everyone agrees that the vaccine is still going to be effective versus this new strain, if the new strain even continues to be a concern, and we don't necessarily know that it will at the moment. So a pretty logical reaction from the bond market. As far as this week goes, bonds are still holding in a sideways range, just trying to make it to the end of the year without any major drama or surprises. Should be a light volume week, should be a relatively low liquidity week. That can sometimes lead to surprising moves in either direction, but those moves tend not to be long lasting. And if anything, they could easily be reversed in the following week. We've seen that many times. But all other things being equal, unless 10-year yields are breaking outside a range of, say, 0.88 to 0.96, really nothing new is happening. That's the sideways range that's dominated for a month now. And until that changes, really nothing is changing. From an economic data standpoint, everything's compressed into Tuesday and Wednesday. And that makes Wednesday a really, really big day for economic data. But so many people are going to be tuning out so early that even if bond markets are moving, I really wouldn't put much stock in that movement. That's all for today. Just a reminder to listeners, mbslive.net has a benefit for Licking on Lending listeners. Use the code LOL when you get to the site to set up your free trial, and you'll get double the free time, no credit card requirement. Back to you, Dave. Have a great week.
Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate that. I'm looking also at existing home sales coming out on Tuesday. That's going to be a big one. We look at where the housing market's at, and then also we got the 5-year treasury note auction. See what that activity is. And then just Wednesday. Wow, look at that. I'm looking at the trading range. This is a really nice system, folks. Check it out. Go get the free trial and go and get the extra time. There's so much on the screen. I could go on and on and on, but appreciate it. Matt, appreciate the partnership. Have a Merry Christmas, friend. Anyways, next week, we're going to have Jessica Peterson on. She's a friend, and she's talking about things you can do to set your goals, meet your goals in the new year. Jessica has been a guest in the past. You'll enjoy her podcast. Also, a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, as well as the CMLA, or the Community Mortgage Lenders of America Group, as well as Indicom, Accelerate, Mobility, RE, Modex, and all the others. Check them, all of our advertisers out on our website, looking on LYKKEN on lending.com. Appreciate you all being here. It's been a great interview. So much fun. Have a great week, everyone. Merry Christmas. And be sure to come back next week. And then we'll wish you a Happy New Year. Thank you for being here and sharing this podcast with others.
You've been listening to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licking of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week. And thanks for listening.